Hello, everyone out there. Welcome to my list of 5 favorite animated Batman. Should it be Batmans? Bat people? Hello, everyone out there in my random casual family. My name is Rodney, and this is Random Casual Reviews, where you don't need a reason, nor do you need the expertise to just talk about the things we like. That's right, you can review things too. First of all, if you're viewing or listening to Random Casual Reviews for the very first time, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you so much. Also, I'd like to remind you all that this episode of Random Casual Reviews, along with every episode of Random Casual Reviews, is available as a podcast. That's right, currently we're available on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. So, if you like the audio content, but you don't want to see my bearded face, just search Random Casual Reviews in your favorite podcast place. Also, I'll throw this out there to the podcast audience. If you do want to see my bearded face, just search Random Casual Reviews over on YouTube, and there you can see the whole video. Alright, with all that out of the way, let's get into this week's video. Last week on Random Casual Reviews, I did a review of the first episode of The Batman, the animated series from 2004, and in that video I'd mentioned that I've seen just about every animated iteration of Batman that has ever been produced. And so this week, I thought it would be kind of cool, kind of fun, to just talk about 5 favorite animated iterations of Batman. I'd like you all to keep in mind that this is not a ranking of what I think to be the 5 best animated iterations of Batman. What this is a random casual list of just 5 of my favorite animated iterations of Batman. And you know what? If this one does well, next week I'll do a list of 5 favorite live action iterations of Batman, just so I can stop saying animated iterations of Batman. But hold tight for the rest of this video, because we're going to be saying that quite a bit. Alright, let's get into the list. Number 5 is Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Look at that! Right off the bat, you see what I did there? It's because we're talking about Batman and right off the... Anyway, you get what I'm saying. Right off the bat, you're getting a 2-fer. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? I've included both of these series together because Justice League Unlimited is really just an expansion of Justice League. And so, honestly, these two series really belong together. They kind of just coalesce and they look the same, they feel the same. You know, it's kind of like a horse costume, you know, they just kind of go together, you know? There's an argument to be made that Batman is really just as good as whomever is partnered with him, or whomever is in his rogues gallery. I won't go that far. I kind of think Batman is pretty cool all by himself just as a character, but it is definitely true that Batman is either enhanced or diminished by kind of whomever he has around him. In the case of Batman in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, who does he have around him other than the entire DC Universe? And really, does it get much better than that? The role that Batman plays in the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, he's one of the few mere mortals on the Justice League. Batman becomes like the grounding presence for the rest of the team. He's also sometimes like the de facto kind of therapist for everyone else on.
Diana's carrying a grudge.
She'll get over it. How about you carrying anything?
What, share? We're cool. Giving each other our space. I'm seeing Vixen now. I'm very happy. Anyway, why are we always talking about my love life? What's going on between you and Diana?
Nothing. She's a respected colleague.
Uh-huh.
I don't have time to pursue a relationship. My work is too important to allow any distractions. Diana's a remarkable woman. She's a valued friend. She's standing right behind me, isn't she?
Don't let that stop you. Keep digging.
And aside from being the therapist, he is also the audience surrogate because, like him, we are all just mere mortals in this world. Aside from all that, I have to be honest. I have a lot of fond memories of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. You see, gang, I'm old enough to remember way back when Netflix was just a mail order movie rental company. You know, you go to the website, you pick a movie, they send it back to you, and they tell you you can keep it as long as you like. That's what Netflix used to be like. But then they became a streaming service. So I'm talking about even before they had original content. So we're not talking about Stranger Things or Inventing Anna or even the first or even House of Cards, which I believe was their first original studio thing or whatever. Before the original content, they used to basically take content that was made by other studios, obviously, and over on Netflix, those shows would kind of get a second life. And one of the first shows I remember watching on Netflix was Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. You see, gang, I'm old enough to remember way back when Netflix first started. Way back when Netflix was just a mail order movie rental company and No. This is not an Uncle Rodney segment. No, Uncle Rodney, please go back to bed. Please go back to bed, Uncle Rodney. Yes, we'll invite you back. We will. Please go back to bed. Thank you. Uncle Rodney, always trying to butt in, you know? Anyway, what I'm getting at is that I've been with Netflix for a long time, and I remember when they first started their streaming service, and before they had original content, they used to kind of borrow shows from other studios, right? And I remember early on watching Justice League and Justice League Unlimited on repeat. And that's when I actually fell in love with the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. So, like I said, very, very fond memories. Number four. My number four pick is The Batman from 2004, that animated series. I did a full review of the first episode of The Batman, the animated series from 2004. So I'm not going to talk too deeply about it right here. What I will say, in complete and utter honesty, is that you're not really going to get a lot of really new, inventive story developments from watching The Batman from 2004. One area where I feel like it did kind of take a few chances was with the artistic design and with the character design. I love the character designs. I love the animation. And I really think what I like the most about it is that it did make some bold choices, yet they were simple choices, so it didn't quite go over the top. Shout out to Batman Ninja. Criminals of Gotham!
The mighty Bat God before us.
Yeah, that one kind of went over the top. Number three is Gotham by Gaslight. I want to start by giving a shout out to the character design. Because if I'm being completely honest with you, when I first saw characters and when I first saw the animation, I wasn't really on board. However, what brought me on board was the great story that's depicted in Gotham by Gaslight. Before I talk about the story of Gotham by Gaslight, I do just want to say, the exact same animation and sort of the same character design was used in a later DC animation adaptation of Superman the Red Sun. So, it works, as long as you have a good story, and both of those are good stories. Anyway, about Gotham by Gaslight, you know how in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he kind of takes actual history and then kind of alters it a little bit so that he can tell a kind of new and imaginative story. Gotham by Gaslight does something similar in that it sets Gotham in the Victorian era, where Batman is trying to figure out who is Jack the Ripper. The difference between Inglourious Basterds, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Gotham by Gaslight is that in the case of Inglourious Basterds, we know what happened to Hitler, and in the case of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, we know what became of Sharon Tate. But in real life, we have no idea who Jack the Ripper really was in actual history. And Gotham by Gaslight kind of fills in the blank for us, in a manner of speaking. The reveal of who Jack the Ripper is kind of blew my mind the first time I saw it. I was like, what? He's Jack the Ripper? I mean, it could have been anybody, but the person that ended up being Jack the Ripper, I think it might surprise you when you see it yourself. Number two is Batman Under the Red Hood. So, there have, of course, been many, many iterations of Batman. And I would say there probably have been just as many iterations of Batman's sidekick, Robin. The difference is that aside from a few different kind of, you know, multiverse changes, Batman is always Bruce Wayne, whereas Robin has been at least different people I can think of off the top of my head here, not in my script. Let's see how much I know. Damian Wayne, right? Jason Todd? And Dick Grayson, right? Those are three that I could think of off the top of my head. How did I do there? Pretty good. Did I do okay? Regardless of the iteration of Robin we're talking about, one thing that doesn't get dealt with enough is the implications of a young, troubled man donning a cape and a mask and running out in the mean streets of Gotham to fight crime, and the idea that Bruce Wayne allowed it to happen. In addition to Under the Red Hood dealing with Batman's Robin woes, it also deals with the implications of Batman's steadfast rule of not killing anyone. Some people may not realize that this whole idea of Batman not killing is kind of more of a modern depiction of Batman because, yeah, that guy's dead. Random casual little factoid here. Did you know that for the comic that Batman Under the Red Hood is based on, from some point back in the 80s, where publishers of DC Comics basically let the public decide what was actually going to happen to Jason Todd, and based on what did actually happen to Jason Todd, I think it's safe to say that back then the public didn't really much care for him.
Why Superman works alone.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, my number one pick is Batman the Animated Series from 1992. I just want to say that I did my best not to allow nostalgia influence the decisions of what I was placing on my five favorite animated iterations of Batman. I can't even say that with a straight face. That's absolutely not true. Nostalgia is kind of dripping all over all of my choices, especially my number 5 choice. That one almost turned into an old Uncle Rodney segment. Thank goodness we were able to brush that one away. Anyway, Batman the Animated Series was the one that started it all in terms of really high quality modern depictions of animated Batman, in my opinion. You have to think, before 1992's Batman the Animated Series, the previous animated iteration of Batman happened 15 years earlier with 1977's The New Adventures of Batman. I have nothing against the 70s. I wasn't there or anything, but what I can say is, like most things from the 70s, it was kind of campy and it aged like cheese. That being said, I love that for Batman the Animated Series of 1992, it was almost as if the campiness was kind of surgically removed and then replaced with some pretty good just animation and detail. Matter of fact, it's kind of weird to me because it seems like if you ever watch Batman the Animated Series from 1992, it's almost like a throwback to noir times, as if to say, let's take Batman back to before he became campy. Little did they know, bat nipples were on the way. Anyway, even though Batman the Animated Series from 1992 aired on the Fox Kids Network, it was actually not for just, you know, little kids. It was kind of for more mature kids, you know? And even as a kid, I appreciated that. And I'll never forget how I was maybe just a little surprised when the first time I saw Batman bleed on Batman the Animated Series from 1992.
Do you bleed?
So, you know, because of those kind of choices, it's still accessible for adults today, which is allegedly what I am. I'm an adult today? Alright, let's wrap this thing up. In summary, as a reminder, this was not a ranking of my top 5 favorite animated iterations of Batman. What this was a random casual list of 5 of my favorite animated iterations of Batman. All that being said, even though this is not a ranking, I feel like I'd be horribly remiss if I didn't make a few honorable mentions here. So let me give a little honorable mention shout out here. First one is going to be Batman vs. the Ninja Turtles, Dark Knight Returns, Batman Year One, Batman Hush, Batman The Long Halloween, and finally, Superman and Batman Public Enemies. Okay, I think that just about does it. Alright, so what would you have placed on a list of your 5 favorite animated Batman? Is it Batman's? You know what? Help me with that down below in the comments. Like, subscribe, and tune in next week for another great episode of Random Casual Reviews. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great day.